The competition is supported by Performance Today, a daily guided tour of music and concerts from around the world. Find out more about Performance Today and give them a listen. Head to yourclassical.org, again, that's yourclassical.org, and then click on Performance Today.
For me, it's been a challenge because one of my personal goals is to finally be able to play like myself, because personally, I've never been able to feel comfortable in my own skin in these competitions. But for me, I think a big part of it was just also finding out who I am.
I'm sure Rachel Kudo isn't alone in dealing with this, right? For example, I'm 28, and I'm still figuring out how all of these things in my life have shaped me. How I ended up making audio documentaries, going to my parents' house on the weekends so they can feed me because I'm poor. But enough about me, because this episode is just going to be about Rachel Kudo. She's the last contestant we're profiling before the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition kicks off on May 25th. And as always, I started with the basics, like when she started playing piano.
I think when I was 5, I met my teacher in Chicago, who ended up being my teacher all my life until he passed away in 2010. But he was a big influence also. He was also very passionate, and he would take me to concerts down to Chicago Symphony Center, where they have piano recitals on Sunday afternoons. And it was such a treat.
Rachel was born in the U.S., but after a couple years of studying with her piano teacher, she moved to Japan with her parents. Her dad got a job as a professor there. And while Rachel's parents weren't the most avid classical music fans, her grandmother had a sizable CD and vinyl collection full of Beethoven, Bach, Chopin, the list goes on. They had listening parties together, and they would regularly talk on the phone about their favorite piano players.
And she would tell me, I remember, of pianists that she liked and didn't like, and she actually didn't like the very theatrical ones, you know, who made a lot of facial expressions and dramatic gestures. And it's interesting because I'm not one, actually, I think, to make a lot of gestures or expressions, and luckily that aligned to my grandma's taste.
Not only did her grandmother have good taste, but she also supported Rachel and believed in her, sometimes more than she believed in herself.
I was in a national competition in Japan, one of the biggest ones for young kids, and in the finals, you know, was in a really nice, beautiful hall in Tokyo, and she was there, and I ended up winning, which obviously was really, you know, happy occasion for everybody. And then I just remember she had said, "You perform well under pressure."
Yeah.
So I thought, well, you know, for me, I was like, "Oh, really?" That was kind of a point where my parents had asked me, you know, "Do you want to be a pianist?" And I said, yes. I actually don't really remember this, but I'm told that this is what happened. And basically, I think I turned 13, and then we moved back to the States, and my father stayed back in Japan with his job, so it was actually just my mother, my sister, and me. So from age 13, basically onwards, I knew that my family was making a big sacrifice. They never vocally, explicitly told me, you know, any of the difficulties, but you know, when you're a kid, kids are perceptive, and certainly, you know, moving was a big deal. And for me too, I mean, just, you know, going to basically high school here, you know, and not knowing anybody, I mean, that was really not easy. And, you know, when I moved to Japan, I had to learn to, like, adapt to that too. And that's such a different culture as well. So in some ways, I never felt like I fit in either country. Like, when I was in Japan, I felt I was American. And then when I came here, I felt part of me was Japanese. I've always felt this kind of conflict, and I think it's always going to be there.
This kind of idea that you're kind of seeking out, like, who you are.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, the country you're living in and if you fit there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're approaching the piano and trying to seek out who you are as a pianist,
mm-hmm.
do you see kind of like parallels to that as well in terms of like just trying to figure yourself out, both in terms of where you're living, but also like your art and how you express yourself through it?
I think you are totally touching on something very true and very challenging for me still, because what I've struggled with is that when you're being authentic and when you make your own decisions, you have to be fearless and you have to be bold and you have to say, this is the way I hear it, this is the way I think the composer wanted it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. And that means that you're not afraid to be different or to be unique, and you are not trying to fit in. You're not trying to sound like somebody on a recording. You're not trying to copy anybody or you know, be a second whoever. And that's definitely something that's been very high on my list of what I want to achieve, because the more I learn about music, the more I realize there are so many factors that contribute to you making a decision on your interpretation, on your performance. And what I've also struggled with, because, you know, I want to fit in, right? You don't want to stick out. You don't want to be rude. You don't want to... I've been told, you know, that it seems like, you know, I want to make everybody happy and please everybody. And I mean, it's true, you know, I've wanted to be a good daughter to my parents, a good sister, you know, a good friend, whatever. But I also realized that kind of aspect of my personality is not going to work when I play, because I can't please everybody. And I think that's part of why I struggled in competitions, because you have to know who you are. You have to make your decisions and not be afraid to offend someone. You have to be ready to take that chance.
Now, Rachel has a good track record at piano competitions, but when she competed in the Clyburn back in 2009, she was eliminated after the first round when there were still 30 contestants remaining.
I can tell you that I had never been so nervous in my life. And it was absolutely terrifying. And
why was it terrifying?
Oh, because it was such a big stage. I mean, I had never played in such a big hall before.
Wow.
You know, Bass Hall. I don't know. Probably seats like 2,000-3,000 people. You know, I don't even know the exact number, but I mean, it's a beautiful hall, you know, with all the lights and the balconies. And I just remember completely feeling uncomfortable and unprepared. And I think unprepared for the feeling. You know, maybe I was prepared technically, you know, because it's not like I wasn't practicing, but I was not prepared for the feeling that I was going to have of nerves, of just that stage. So
yeah. What was that feeling like when you were done with your performance?
I was really sad.
Why?
Well, because I think I'm a very honest person, and I think I knew before going on stage, while I was on stage, and after I left stage that I wasn't ready. That I wasn't ready for that spotlight.
Yeah.
So it was very painful. I mean, I have to be completely honest with you. And
oh,
I think,
no.
You know, but I think that's one of my, it's just my personality. And I think that's also why I've struggled, you know, about being authentic, because I think I know exactly when I'm not myself.
But now that Rachel's more confident in who she is as a person, she's able to be more confident in herself as a piano player too. This time around, she's only playing music that resonates with her. And there's one piece in particular that she has a deep connection with.
I programmed a Chopin Nocturne in the competition, and it was one of the first pieces, I think, by Chopin that I learned, in D flat, opus 27, number 2. And it was a piece that my first piano teacher taught me in Chicago. And when he was sick in 2010, the last time I saw him, I visited him with my father. And we drove to Wisconsin, where he was kind of hospitalized from Chicago. You know, it was a few hours, I don't remember. And we went there, and he could not speak. So I couldn't communicate to him, but there was a keyboard, like a digital electric piano in the room.
Wow.
So when students visited, they could play for him. And so I sat there and I played for him. And when I started playing, his fingers would move, like he was playing along with me. And I played that Nocturne in D flat, and he was lying in bed, you know, his fingers are moving. The tears couldn't stop. I remember I was just crying while I was playing that. And then I left, and that was the last time I saw him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, not to be really, really sad, but it was just, it was really tough. And yeah, I was there with my father, and on the way back, I remember we just driving in silence. I think we just both knew that, you know, we might not see him again, so.
Oh my gosh.
So when I play that piece, if I get to play it in the competition, I'll definitely be thinking about him.
Yeah. What round is that? Did you program that for?
That is in the semifinal round, which is the last solo round that I would get to play if I advance. And that's why I'm very happy to be able to play this time, because I've never felt so comfortable with the choices I've been, you know, I've made. Before, I was full of doubts. I wasn't sure, you know, somebody said, oh, you should play this, or, oh, you know, this is your strength. And I would just doubt them. I would just say, are you sure? Or, you know, I don't think that's my strength, all these things. But that's part of the reason why I wanted to apply, because I finally feel like everything I choose to play, yeah, I'm going to be able to be myself, so.
I really do want to hear Rachel perform that Chopin piece. And hopefully, she makes it to the semifinal round when the Clyburn competition starts at the end of May. Our next episode is the last episode before we fly out to Fort Worth, Texas, and we'll talk with the CEO of the Clyburn, Jacques Marquis. The competition is hosted by me, James Kim, Cameron Kell, and Alyssa Dudley are the producers, and this outro music is by Andrew Ethan. Until next time.
I'm Fred Child, the host of APM's Performance Today, your daily guided tour of concerts around the world. PT is glad to support this podcast, the competition, and by the way, I'll be there at the final round of the 2017 Van Cliburn competition. I'll be the MC for the awards ceremony on June 10th. Check out more from the Cliburn and from the classical scene around the planet. Go to yourclassical.org, click on Performance Today.